Blog Talk Radio.
Fresh wind blowing this room. Fresh wind blowing this room. Fresh wind blowing this room. Holy Ghost fire. Fresh wind blowing.
I took it off of the music, Pastor. I unpaused it.
We clearly hear you.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And these are the people.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. One moment, please.
Thank you.
We're here.
Definitely not the one that does technology stuff. But I believe we are up and running and that all parties can hear. And so today we are going to fast track. We are going to really focus on chapters 15 through 17 as it relates to mentorship, spiritual parenting, teaching, and things of that nature. So it should be a rather interesting and insightful class. So hopefully everybody had the opportunity to read chapters 15 through 17, and if not, we will just kind of go over them as we need to for this purpose. One of the things that I believe has come up within the kingdom is this issue of mentoring, this issue of who your spiritual parents are. So spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, mentoring, life coaches, and all of those things. And so I believe that these chapter 15, 16, and 17 actually addresses it from an interesting perspective. But we are going to just spend some time looking at mentoring, spiritual parenting, and things of that nature. One of the things I kind of want to start off at the end by just kind of asking this question. How many of us are aware of the individual? First of all, have you, and these are questions you're going to write down and turn into answers. So whether you're on social media, whether Facebook or Blog Talk or here, these are some things you want to be able to answer. Are you able to identify or have you had any mentors? Any mentors? Have you had a mentor? And if so, you're going to make a list of who those mentors were and the areas that they mentored you in. Have you or do you have a spiritual father and or a spiritual mother? And if so, you're going to just kind of write a blurb or so about who the spiritual father / spiritual mother is and what role and capacity that they served in for you. I think one of the interesting things is that there is a prerequisite in order to receive a spiritual parent. And I thought that was very interesting, what I call the prerequisite. The author talks about the price, I call it the prerequisite. But she indicates that there's a heavy price to admit that you need to look into the eyes of somebody else. It is like the child who left home and discovered that maybe his parents did know a thing or two. Only when we get to the place of submission and willingness to put our own agenda aside will we be ready for spiritual parents to give us direction. If you don't know who your spiritual father is or spiritual mother is, then we need to seek that to see whom the Lord says. If you do know who that individual is, then you need to ask yourself these questions, and these questions I want you to put the answer down to. So if you know who your spiritual mother or spiritual father is, these are the questions I want you to answer. Do you flow in all, circle the word all, of their anointing and gifts? Do you flow in all of their anointing and gifts? Do you look like, do you think like them? Do you minister like them? If you are able to say yes to all of these questions, if you are unable to say yes to all of these questions, you need to remain submitted as a child in the home of their parents to obey, receive, and grow in the environment that the Lord has given you. And we're doing the end from the beginning, but that's okay. She goes on to talk about the time will come soon enough when you can leave home and blaze into your own direction and guidance. But for right now, it's time to admit our spiritual childishness and receive from the one that the Lord has placed in our lives. And so I thought, yes.
Do you flow
in all of their anointings and gifts? Do you minister like them? These are, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but it's okay. If you have the book, I'm on page 260. If you don't have the book, just write down what I just said, because that's actually all you need. So now we will actually look at this chapter. I think it is very interesting, and we ask people to just kind of begin to look at what mentoring was versus apostolic parenting look like. She's going to give an example, I believe it's in this chapter, if not it's in chapter 16, of this little boy named Johnny. And I actually want to start with that example that she gives, because I believe that it speaks to our process and that it communicates a lot. It says, and it is in chapter 16. It says, little Johnny was standing up in the back of the classroom. His teacher looked at him and said, Johnny, sit down. But he did not want to sit down, so he kept standing. His teacher again asked him, Johnny, sit down. Johnny still remained standing. After some time of giving threats and telling Johnny to obey, Johnny finally took his seat. On the outside, keep the word outside in mind, it looked as if Johnny had obeyed and submitted to the teacher. But on the inside, Johnny was still standing. It's not good enough to submit because you have to, or even because it is the right thing to do. The lesson the Lord wants us to learn is to submit out of true humility and love. This is one of the main reasons why apostolic fatherhood and sonship is based off of a relationship of love. And we're going to kind of look over that. But I thought that was an interesting concept as we talk about the difference between mentoring and fathering. Because what mentoring is going to yield you, has anybody been a mentor or have a mentor? Or has between mentoring and apostolic or pastoral parenting? Or prophetic parenting. She's going to talk about parenting from the fivefold, so she's always going to make a reference to apostolic parenting. But I do realize that apostolic parenting may not always be the vein by which people are flowing in. So whether it's pastoral parenting, prophetic parenting, whatever the case may be. So who has a mentor or has been a mentor? Maybe, possibly. Okay, at least one or two people. Okay. In one sentence, how would you define mentorship? Leading by example. Okay. Anybody else? Pastor, defining mentorship. Yes.
Those people, mentors, want to look people for spiritual.
So the mentor is the individual that will keep you on course for?
To grow spiritually.
Okay, keep you on course for spiritual growth. All right, let's look at Proverbs 1 and 6. I'm not sure what versions you all have. The better version is probably the New American Standard Version, but let's just look and see what you all have. I definitely don't have that one. And when you have Proverbs 1 and 6, let's just read it. Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Okay, who else has it?
From the voice version, and they will be able to serve it in the use of a proverb and a proverb, split entirely in the words of the whys and the whys.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
I'm saying proper and interpretation. Where's the why and the whys.
Oh, wow. So what is the that's interesting. What are the definitions that we want to give to a mentor? And so part of what I'm sharing is yeah. Anyway, one of the definitions that we want to give for a mentor is an experienced and trusted advisor, someone who can provide a level of training. It should be biblical principles. It's the individual that will help you acquire completeness. An individual that will help you acquire completeness. And it could be viewed as a slower process, even though she is going to, the author is going to suggest that it is a timed process. Some examples that she is going to use is going to be a Moses mentor, Joshua. Can anybody think of somebody else? Elijah and Elisha. Anybody else? Yes. Naomi and Ruth, yes. Anybody else? Jesus and the 12 and the relationship between hello? Okay. And the relationship between Peter and Mark. One of the things that the author is going to talk to us about as it relates to understanding the difference, and I believe that we need to know, as we are living in this apostolic culture, we need to understand, have some really good definitions of knowing the difference between mentoring and apostolic parenting. And in that way, you can begin to identify what you've been called to if you've been called on that platform. One of the scriptures that the author uses is out of 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse. 1 Corinthians 4:15. So if somebody could get 1 Corinthians 4:15. She is going to suggest that mentoring is seasonal. It is seasonal. The Lord will bring mentors to you for a season at a time that they might impart into you the knowledge and expertise in a particular area. So she's going to suggest that it is seasonal. You may have a lot of mentors, but you're only going to have one instructor or one father, okay? She's also going to suggest that mentoring, that relationship is temporary. That relationship is temporary. It is for a particular season, and then when that season is up, you move on. Because the next thing that she is going to suggest is that you can outgrow. That's a very, very key part. She is going to suggest that you can outgrow your mentor. I see a lot of people shaking their heads. So we agree you can outgrow your mentor? Okay, interesting. All right, she is going to suggest that you can outgrow your mentor because that individual is going to give you information based off of where they're at. But as you become this student, you should become, and other people are pointing into you, you should grow above and beyond that place. So she is going to suggest that you can outgrow your mentor. And then she is going to suggest not just that it is seasonal and that you can outgrow it, but one of the temporary seasonal outgrow. And she also is going to suggest that it should be the kind of relationship that must be severed when it is over. That relationship must be severed when it is over. And so we're going to kind of talk about that as well. Because I believe what she is suggesting that it is at some point within this mentoring relationship that a level of deliverance, that's the term I choose to use, or a level of form of deliverance needs to happen because the ties of that mentoring relationship needs to be broken. She uses the example when in personal ministry with students, she's had to break the link between past mentors. She's even had to release them, free herself. There needed to be a freeing so that the next mentor even could be able to pour in. And so I just want to lay the foundation because I wanted to have some dialogue about this because I find that to be very interesting. So while somebody is getting my scripture, right? The First Corinthians, somebody else is going to get 2 Kings, the second chapter, 2 Kings 2, 10 through 14, 2 Kings 2, 10 through 14. So let's go back and continue to look at this whole mentoring. Who has 1 Corinthians 4?
4, 15.
So it started at the 14 verse, please.
Oh,
okay, I'm sorry.
I am not writing these things to shame or to warn you, as many beloved children.
Paul, everybody's on technology. Okay. Those people not on technology, circle beloved children. Or how does that work for people? Okay. Because I believe there's some elements here that we need to pay attention to. Verse 15. Elder, we know you have that verse.
Okay. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel.
Okay, so we have beloved children or children, instructors / mentors, and then fathers. Somebody have verse 16? Okay, I want somebody to just make a note of the word imitate me. Verse 17, we're going all the way down to 21.
That's why I have said, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child, the Lord. He will remind you of how I followed Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go.
So I want us to look at beloved and faithful son. Beloved and faithful son. Okay. We could just read 18 through 21.
I know there are some among you who are so full of themselves, they never listen to anyone, let alone me. They don't think I'll ever show up in person, but I'll be there sooner than you think. God willing, and then we'll see if they're full of anything but high air. Keep God's way is not a matter of mere talk. It's an empowered life.
21.
So how should I prepare to come to you as a severe disciplinarian who makes you toe the mark, or as a good friend and counselor who wants to share heart to heart with you? You decide.
All right, so verse 21 is going to be key. Verse 21 is going to be key. What do we see in this passage of Scripture? What relationships do we see here?
Teacher.
Because I believe the scripture covers the gamut of things here. See, this, he starts off by saying, I'm writing to you as children. Okay? Then he goes on to tell them, look, you're going to have some instructions, some instructors, and some fathers. However, you are the ones that I have begotten through the gospel. So the first thing I want us to do is hear the terminology, because as leaders, the one thing we by far don't want people to treat us is what? As a what? As a child. That's just that's an issue for us. I just want us to hear the language that Paul is writing Corinthians, okay? So he says, look, you're my beloved children, and you're going to have a lot of people in your life to understand who I am in your life, okay? So it becomes important to understand the people in our life, but the specific role that they are supposed to be playing. That's very important. Then he says, verse 16, therefore I urge you to do what? Imitate me. How many of us as leaders are worthy to be imitated? And then how many of us as leaders taking, and when we see it in them, it's time for deliverance? Because we, you, yes, elder.
Well,
let's talk about.
Well, when you say that, yes, I've seen some people where I guess you could say they were mentored or they came up under the person. And so when going back to the way that they flow, then it is like they'll do the same kind of thing that this person did. But then on the other hand, I've heard where they will tell you, don't try to be like me. You be you because God called you and put a special thing in you. So what you deliver and the way how you deliver it is going to be different from the way so-and-so
does. Somebody has all of this technology and the Ask G-Bat Google. Somebody give me the Greek meaning for imitate. I think that's something that we need to look at because the scripture says imitate me. And so as you're marking the steps of a godly person, it's something about their lives that we ought to be able to do what?
Imitate.
And so oftentimes when we see our characteristics in us, we're the parents in the room. Have you ever seen a characteristic that you have in your child and you thought, oh, I'm not having that? So I used to say all the time to oversee it, you can't beat you out of me. So oftentimes when we look and we see some of our ways in the people around us, we can begin, it's a good mirror to see what we're looking like. That was a hard lesson for me as a pastor. Like, for real, for real? I'm not sure about that one. But the reality of it is that, first of all, I think it's amazing. And Paul is telling them, look, I'm the model you need to be patterning yourself after. Not idolizing, clearly different, not mimicking. Okay. But imitating from the perspective, these are the traits and characteristics. You ever heard people hear people say, I just don't know how to be a godly man, a godly woman, all of those things. And so Paul was saying, look, there are some things that I have mastered, but watch this. Don't let it be said you didn't know or you never saw, because here it is. And so I think as leaders, we need to hear that, especially when we're talking about this mentoring and apostolic parenting relationship. Because those that you have begotten through the gospel of Jesus Christ, are they imitating you or are they mimicking you? That's something just for us to be thinking of as our words are being looked up. And then verse 17 says, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you. Can the Lord send people to us that he has already identified as being faithful individuals because he wants them to study you and carry the message that you're carrying? So when we look at this verse 17, he says, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. Will your representative do you like you do you? Not with their own flair, not with their own personality, but the way they studied and learned it. So these are just some things that I believe we need to look at as we're identifying mentor versus spiritual parenting. And on what level is this taking place? Is this a mentoring or a spiritual parenting?
Now, you would think that they don't mimic you, or you should be able to see that
they're going to want you guys to come to the mic. Or just talk really loud.
Able to see that what they're doing is what you are presenting to them.
Mm-hmm.
Without adding their list or whatever.
Okay.
But isn't that the innate thing that would come from them?
And that's what we're going to look at. So as you go on and you're in this apostolic parenting relationship, do you have the liberty from a scriptural perspective? Let me lay the groundwork. Do you have the liberty from a scriptural perspective to carry out the vision your way? So if our role of responsibility is to build ABC house, and there is a vision, a mandate, an assignment, et cetera, on ABC house, and you're the spiritual child of ABC house, do you have the right to say, I got the assignment and I'm going to go do it my way? So, but I think that concept for us is lost. Because we really do go, well, you know, I have my own sense of gifts, calling, talents, and anointing. Is it possible that all of the diversity that you bring to ministry is necessary? God will use it, but he will infuse it in. It's not for you to use it and insert it in. Mm. So that's some things that I believe we have to look at as we're talking about mentoring versus spiritual parenting, or they call it apostolic parenting, but being able to identify the difference. All right, so in this spiritual parenting relationship, part of the responsibility is to feed us milk until we're ready to get to the meat. So do we understand who's at what developmental stage and what they're ready for next? Or do we need them to all be in the same place because we don't intend to cook meals, several different meals? And it just, that's something that we have. Or do we feel like, I know I'm not, I need meat, and all I'm getting is milk? So we assume that we were further along our process. Is it possible that you need milk, you need meat, and all you're getting is milk? Is that possible within a apostolic parenting relationship? Everybody looking like, yeah. Is that the general consensus? That's okay, no problem.
You say the parenting, you're there under the parenting. So then I guess if you depends on, is that the house you're supposed to be in? Because if you're supposed to be there, then I think they do have to submit to that parenting.
Okay, you have to submit up under that parenting, and let's just assume, you know, positionally well in the right place. That's good.
Okay.
Is it possible then, within the apostolic parenting relationship, that if they are giving you milk, that you need meat? Quite a few people said yes. Right. No, okay.
See, the thing is,
yes,
is because your development becomes the same. So then it's stagnant. You're like, okay, I'm here doing the same. I'm required. I know how you keep in your box. I'm still so. It's time for me to have meat.
Okay. I hear you. I hear you. We go, yes, and then we'll go this way. Evangelist Katie.
People would participate in the last week or the last week.
Mm-hmm.
being honest to all people, if God sent you to a place and that place is only dishing up milk, it's because, well, I feel that God's not going to send me where I can't be fed, what nourishes me. So therefore, even though I feel like I may be ready for milk, it may just be that I'm not ready for milk simply because
I know what you mean.
Simply because he's still feeding me milk.
Okay. That's an acceptable answer. I'm working my way back. Okay, Apostle.
I think about my grandson, Elijah, who had a feeding tube. And even though he looked like he was ready to eat meat, there were underlying health factors that prohibited him. So he was getting his milk through a feeding tube. So oftentimes people look and think they're at a certain place for meat, when in actuality, you can't even digest it without choking.
Hmm.
Or there perhaps is a miss something somewhere that you need to stay on this milk until you're really, really able to digest it.
Okay. Okay. Somebody else before we
can I just believe that
mm-hmm.
that God in all his all knowing, again I go back to her, he would not put you in some place that you really should be. If you're there it's a reason to be.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Is anybody before? Okay. So one of the things I wanted to look at is within the paradigm of these relationships, is it possible, just something for you to consider, that you're getting this milk and you believe you need this meat because the vision that you have, you're ready for meat in the vision you have. But in the spirit, in the spiritual parenting, apostolic parenting, in the dynamics of that relationship, one of the responsibilities, I believe chapter 8 talked about, I believe it was, the death of a personal vision. If we're still trying to feed our vision and we progress to meet, to be on one accord, to be in sync with that apostolic structure, milk is what's necessary, because while we may believe we're beyond that in our own journey, like I have my plan, I know the steps I need to take to get here, that's not the plan that God is going to walk you through. That plan is about to cease. He's about to integrate it into another plan, and in that corporate plan, you're on milk. So I think sometimes in the process of these mentoring, so we look for people, because we don't always shift houses, we just look for people that can give us some meat. Because what is interesting, even if we're somewhere and all we're getting is milk, and we believe we need meat, is do we seek meat somewhere else?
Within the house.
Nine times out of ten, outside the house. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you do inside or outside the house. The question is, do we still seek meat? Like, I need more. This isn't, I need more. And so what I want to suggest, if that mindset isn't ready to be parents, they're not ready for apostolic governing or apostolic parenting, because we don't trust the process. Does that make sense? So as long as we're still seeking, like, I need whatever it is, okay, vegetables or food or whatever it is, okay, in our process, if that's not what's going forward and we believe that's what we need in order to get to this place here, then we're actually aborting the process, okay, trying to get what we believe we need. Now, what child knows what they need? They don't. tell you what they need, which is why God gave them to you. He entrusts that process to you. They don't always know what's best for them. Most leaders aren't looking to be apostolically fathered or mothered or have apostolic parenting. That's what she calls it. Apostolic are not looking to be apostolically parented like that. They're looking to be respected as the gifted individuals that they are and assisted to get to the steps that they need. Assisted and respected does not fit within the structure of apostolic parenting. So we see that about them.
I was going to ask a question, but think I made a foundation. And that was when you talked about, as a leader, are you prepared to fix a variation of meal
mm-hmm.
for your children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you prepared to, you know, give them the bottle and fight the chicken? But I think that in that, I was seeing it from a leadership standpoint. Your leaders, ladies of something glass have leadership retreats, the leadership, whatever, and then the those who are not ready for that particular
deal, you still think and do it. So that's how I start. Okay. I am going to suggest, because I know we're looking at it as a church.
Right.
So we're specifically thinking of the people within the church. I want us to think within the structure of those that you apostolically parent. And you don't apostolically parent everybody in the church. Yes, Pat.
Now that you said that, I'm going to the top of that's when I say, yeah, you can't. So I'm kind of with you saying, but now that you said that, I'm going to take time. I just had this, what you just said about someone going their way on Blog Talk this last Wednesday on Blog Talk when I did the lesson on Blog Talk. And then I got a call from a couple of people afterwards and saying, thank you, blah, 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 blah. But I got a call from someone from North Carolina and asked me, did I know my audience? Did I know my audience? And I said, well, I don't know everybody, but I know some, you know, from different places, men, women, whatever. And the bottom line was they felt that the lesson was too elementary,
mm-hmm.
That they wanted more. They're seeking deeper. And but like you were saying, there's a place you have to come. And if I just asked, I wanted to a simple question. And when I saw that simple question, when I got the response, then what you were seeking is deep. You not wasn't even ready for the simple question. And so by the end, it's all okay. But they was like, even in their own church, that's why they don't go, you know, they're looking elsewhere going because their apostle is not giving them what they want, and they just want so much deeper and so much more. But yet, they were wounded and hurt and angry.
Mm.
So I think.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
But when you said that, to me, it sounds like you're speaking to the masses. So again, you may know some of the people, but a lot of people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you said not the church, then that makes me think in terms of, say, a reformation. Where you may have a prelay, and then you have your bishops, and you've got your overseers over this region and over that region and over the whole whatever your reformation
mm-hmm.
is. So that's the thing where you are apostolically leading
mm-hmm.
or mentoring or whatever over leaders. It's not to everybody because to those particular leaders, then they have people under them that they work with. So whatever you may be giving to them is not for everybody.
Because
mm-hmm. when they call those meetings or they have certain conferences, it's not for,
mm-hmm.
lack of a better word, the church. Oh, it's
mm-hmm.
for the leaders.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so it's not for just because you're a member of First Corinthians, you know,
mm-hmm.
da, 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 da. But it would be for the pastor or the bishop of that church.
to come in. And whoever is over all of the dishes of this week. So that's what I think. Yeah.
Because remember, we're talking, absolutely, we're talking about apostolic parenting. So let's do this. Apostolic parenting simple. Well, I won't say simply, but apostolic parenting suggests the following thing. One of the things apostolic, probably 255. Even though we're going to go back because there's still some other things I want to cover. Apostolic parenting suggests, and we're on page 255, one of the things is within apostolic parenting structure, you will never outgrow your apostolic parent. It is not possible to outgrow your apostolic, okay? So the apostolic parent is always going to be a few steps ahead of you. So it, you can't outgrow. And so one of the major differences between the mentoring and the spiritual parenting is, again, you will outgrow your mentor, but you will not outgrow your parent. Another thing, as it relates to apostolic parenting, is that person is always will always remain the senior and always remain a few steps ahead of you. Mentors will always teach you in one area, while fathers will teach you in a variety of subject areas. So mentors is going to be categorized as just a single subject, while fathers will teach you in multiple areas. Apostolic parenting, and the example that she uses is the one with Timothy. Timothy, however, was his spiritual son and received everything that he had. So when we talked about the steps earlier, you know, has all of the gifts, anointings, and all of that that the spiritual parent has, Paul and Timothy's relationship speaks to that. So Timothy possessed everything that Paul had and then therefore could go and speak on his behalf the same way. He could communicate it because he was giving what he had become. Okay, not so much what he had learned. So she goes on to talk about how Timothy knew everything that Paul taught him. And so I believe one of the things that we have to look at is that there is a responsibility to learn, not just hear. We can sit under teaching and hear it. That's very different from learning it and evolving into it. An apostolic father is going to be, or apostolic parenting, is someone who, someone that you receive everything from, not just their teaching, or you receive their teaching, their instruction, their guidance, and the impartation of their anointing and gifts. You get it all. Teaching, instruction, guidance, anointing, and gifts. All of that is made available. Again, that relationship, first of all, that has, you have to be submitted under that relationship to be able to receive that. And then you have to, before you can even be submitted, you have to identify if that is your apostolic parent. The other thing that she talks about as it relates to apostolic parenting is that that is a permanent relationship. So while mentoring is temporary and seasonal, parenting is permanent. And so she goes on to just kind of make mention about how that part, the permanency of that kind of relationship, that spiritual DNA should be flowing through you. You know, you ought to be able to identify that, oh, you're of this place, okay? There just needs to be some resemblance. She talks about this is one of the reasons why God is raising these apostolic fathers and parents in this generation, because the church needs that kind of structure. It needs that kind of shelter. It needs that kind of guidance. Okay, so apostolic parenting, we have to be willing to give. They have to be willing to give you their knowledge, experience, principles, and most importantly, their heart. Most importantly, their heart. Apostolic parenting, again, is a 24/7. Paul talks about out of 2 Timothy 1 and 2 how he is always praying for Timothy and he is always every remembrance of him, whether it's day or night. So that ongoing spiritually caring that individual. Now, for both of them, they says, while the teacher gave you principles and teaching, the father gives you the direction for your life to go in. So just being able to distinguish the two, the teacher is going to give you some principles, but the father should be able to give you the direction. Apostolic parents are individuals who give you the direction and help you find your mandate. They will show you which way you need to be going in. They're going to tell you everything that you need to learn and the principles that you need to gain from that. And I believe we started at the end, so let's go back. Someone has the scripture? We looked at 1 Corinthians 4. I believe the other scripture was Kings, 2 Kings 2. Yes.
Some sins we have asked in hard things. As it was, if you see them, God has taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as it continued to walk and talk, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, which forced the fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horses. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan.
What do we see in there as it relates to this mentoring and even apostolic parenting? Which ones are you able to extract from that passage of scripture? Just talk louder, please.
The child seeking guidance from the father.
Okay. All right. What else? It came to an end. And that's one of the things she is going to point out, that when that was over, it was over. He didn't see him anymore. His responsibility was to pick up and move forward. What else do we see?
His mentor, even in the fact of with the hope in heaven, speaks to the fact that of the devil, speaks to the fact that he didn't do it the same way he did, but he loved from it.
Okay, good. Anybody else? One thing he talked about is that he left his mantle, and he had a responsibility to pick it up. How many of us want to pick up the mantle of someone else, or we want our own mantle? And I think that's something that we have to look at. God created me with a dream and with a vision and anointing and all of that. And so we're not always so keen on picking up somebody else's stuff. Okay. I may want a double portion of your anointing, but I want it for my assignment, not for the mantle that you're leaving behind. So I think that there is a message in that mantle piece right there that every leader is going to have to come to terms with, because I think it is going to help us identify the type of leader that we've been called to be. We're not all called to be mentors. We're not all called to be apostolic parents. And we have to be able to look and identify and know that and be able to distinguish the difference and know where we fit and how we fit.
Is it good to be both?
Is it good to be both?
Yes,
as
a mentor and father, and a mentor. I'm not going to say for the same person, but I guess my question is, if God going to send you both, whereas you have to distinguish, you are mentors. You.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go there. We must know who we've been called to mentor and who we've been called to parent. Number one, it is essential that we know that. Then we need to identify, it may not be a mentoring or parenting or discipling relationship at all, or it could be a discipling relationship, okay? It may not be any of the three. We talk about six different types of mentors, the distant mentor, the occasional mentor, the supported friend, the negative mentor, the reverse mentor, and the spiritual family, spiritual parent, father or mother. The six, and this is just one. There are different people. I'm going to give you a different number of types of mentors, but this particular one, the distant mentor, the occasional mentor, the supportive friend, the negative mentor, the reverse mentor, and the spiritual parent. And what that looks like. We have to identify, have we been called to be a mentor? Have we been called to be responsible for discipling someone? Are we called to be an apostolic parent? What is the nature, what is the God-given agenda of the relationship? Should we be in relationship with the person at all? Because there's some people that just attach themselves because your anointing attracts them. But it doesn't mean that anything was supposed to come out of it. And so we automatically take those people on as our assignment. And we're honored to do it. Or frustrated by it. Just depends. Okay? But we definitely have to be able to distinguish so that we're in right relationships with the right people.
Okay. I like your sister.
Go on.
I like your sister because I was thinking on that line of can you be a mentor and occasionally or because of geographical area which may be in so that person that you're mentoring may continue to call upon you and be continued to see them and bring them up and out of whatever the situation or whatever. And you don't know if they're mimicking you, but you know that they are learning because they don't do those things that they used to do or act the way they used to. So we were saying, can people use it so that you geographically can't be where that person is, but when it's needed upon, you're there and able to bring them or assist them, mentor them into coming from out of the whatever they're going to.
Can they have more than one spiritual? You have people who have 15 mothers and sisters. So is it possible to have? Or have they called to a their mentor who was a spiritual?
Okay. Well,
I think those kinds of people are fragmented. I think they're fragmented. And, one person does one thing, another person does another, but that's just how fragmented they are.
If we look at chapter 16, she talks about one apostolic father or one apostolic parent at a time. You cannot have multiple spiritual parents. That's important to understand. Can you have multiple mentors? Yes, because they are giving insight in a particular area. So, yes, you can have multiple mentors. You cannot have multiple spiritual parents. It's not possible. So, I do realize it is 7:30. Class is going to be over by 8:30. We are going to do this and then everybody that's getting a degree I need to meet with just to get some, collect some information from you. So we're just going to take a 5-minute break, but we're going to come back and finish this out. So this is just a break to get some water or do whatever you need to do. And then we're going to come back and finish this out because class will be over by 8:30. So let's just take a break. Anything? Oh, well. Do you all not need a 5-minute break? Because I could keep talking. Do you have the word? I can trust you.
Okay.
If we don't need a 5-minute break, we could just. Oh, somebody left. Okay. So then, for those that are still on the blog talk, for all of those individuals who are looking to graduate, if you are on the blog talk or Facebook right now, we are definitely going to ask that you text us at 773-779-2900. If you're getting a degree, a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate in the area that you believe your degree should be in so that we can review that, that has to be done today. So we need all that information in today. If you are getting your certificate in pastoral and or biblical studies, and you have not paid your $75 graduation fee, you need to text us at 773-779-2900 today to make some kind of arrangements, or else you will not be able to walk or graduate. So we're just needing to hear from everybody that's not here so that we can put the proper things in place and so that things can be sent off to the printer. And so that needs to be done today for the pastoral track and then tomorrow for the biblical studies. And if you are in both tracks and you are listening, if you can give us that information, that would be greatly appreciated. We want to remind people that the graduation is Saturday, October 28th, and you need to be here at 9 o'clock. Yes, 9 o'clock a.m., so that you can line up and be ready, get robed, and all of those great things. Don't need to come before that, but definitely at 9 o'clock, so that that can begin to take place. And so your timeliness to that is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated. Yes. The graduation will start promptly at 10 a.m. Graduation will start promptly at 10 a.m. I believe that we will probably gather in the social hall, and the graduation is in Bethany Sanctuary. So it is on the first floor. It is handicap accessible, and parking is across the street. So across the street on 103rd. So that is the best thing to do is to park in the parking lot. The best thing to do is definitely to park in the parking lot. You definitely want to be here early enough to secure a spot. Any other questions? All homework, everything is due. Everything is due by the absolute latest Tuesday, October 17th. Everything must be emailed no later than Tuesday, October 17th. Everything needs to be emailed by Tuesday, October 17th. What else? Oh, payments. If you are making any payments, whether you're paying your graduation fee, if you're getting a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate, and you're paying the $10 for your certificate and your course, that can be paid. If you're paying your graduation fee, making any payment arrangements, you can do that with the brain. She's in the office, so please visit her today and let her know. So if you're getting the bachelor's, master's, or doctorate, you only have a $10 fee for your course and your certificate. If you are not obtaining a bachelor's, master's, and or doctoral degree, your graduation fee is $75. And again, all of those things, all of those payments can be made to the brain tonight and tomorrow. So, and payment arrangements, you can make payment arrangements with her as well. Yes. Your course for what am I doing? You're just in pastoral.
Yeah.
Your course, and those are two different things. The individuals that are getting bachelor's, master's, and or doctorate, that is going to be a completely separate ceremony for you. The first portion of your ceremony, you're going to get courted, and you're going to get your certificate in pastoral studies and or biblical studies. And if you're in both, you'll go through both. You get two certificates, one for pastoral, one for biblical. If you're in both, you're going to get your course for pastoral and your course for biblical. That is very separate. After you go through that, then you all will have the official graduation where you will be, where your degrees will be conferred upon you. So you actually, the individuals that went through this process, you will actually be getting your certificate in pastoral studies with your court and your CCTI attendance, and or you will be getting your certificate in your biblical studies with your court. Courts for biblical studies and pastoral studies are not the same. They are two different courts. So, yes, those are two separate processes. So, yes, those are two completely separate. You're going to walk more than once. That's the summation of it. Yes, whichever program you're a part of. And if you see the brain, if you have a question about that, especially if you're only in one program, she'll let you know what that looks like, okay? But your course and certificate for biblical and pastoral studies is very separate from the degree, cap, gown, cap, all of that that's being conferred upon you. That those are two, look at that as two different programs. It's all in the same program. Look at it that way. Okay. Yeah. My 5 minutes, I take it up. Okay, I'm sorry. So if we have any questions about that, I could definitely meet, well, that's part of what we're going to do. I could definitely meet with you afterwards and give you all the information that you will need, okay?
Do you know what we're missing class-wise?
You mean home, from a homework perspective? No. I can only tell you if we don't have any everything, you will walk. You just won't get your certificate. Yeah. But you can walk, and your name will be printed without a shadow of a doubt. So we're going to the printer today, tomorrow. You'll be printed. It's going tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. It can't go today. My things are not the same, along with some other schools. Okay? We do? Wonderful. All right. So let's shift for a minute and go back. Spiritual parenting. You can only have one at a time. Yeah, I mean, actually, that's the summation of that ministry. You can only have one at a time. There are some benefits. The first benefit of receiving from a spiritual parent is to get the fruit of their labor, to get the fruit of their labor. That becomes important. And it also is going to become important who you parent. I identify you don't parent everybody that comes across your path. There are some prerequisites to being parented. There are some prerequisites to being parented. And so I believe that those are some things that we just have to understand. Everybody cannot parent, because remember, we're talking about parenting within the apostolic culture. So let's say you are pastoral, and so you have this pastoral mentorship or this pastoral parenting. That pastoral parenting is very different from apostolic parenting. Okay? So just apostolic parenting is going to encompass the entire fivefold. Any other parenting can only encompass the office by which that individual is serving in, not future gift anointing, but the office by which that individual is serving. Questions, comments, concerns, let's have some dialogue.
You said the apostolic is going to serve on ministry fivefold.
Absolutely.
But if it's a pastoral
exactly. Yes. Absolutely. And it's probably more mentoring. It's probably more mentoring. And we just need to check the expiration date on our mentoring relationship and make sure that they have not expired.
I think that's really, really clever. I need to hold on.
Okay.
Okay. So sometimes, even in that, it really can let me go. It can shift because you said that it's a mentorship. It has to be separate.
Yes.
Like a God who told, this is the end of my God thing for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so it can't transition into anything else.
No, the mentorship needs to end. Now, after the mentorship has been severed and come to an end, if it's going to be spiritual life coaching, if it's going to be a discipleship, if it's going to be apostolic parenting, that needs to be reestablished, but there really does need to be a severing, I'm going to call it a form of deliverance, because we're going to carry over that mentoring mindset. And remember, when you're mentoring, that individual can outgrow you. So I'm going to tell you, you should never have been mentoring somebody whose assignment was beyond you. Okay? That's going to be so important. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be so important. So, yeah, there's going to just definitely need to be a form of a, yeah, I can't think of a better word than deliverance.
That, but you just say it. You shouldn't be mentoring somebody. But
remember, mentoring is maybe you're, what's the area you're proficient in? Evangelism. You may be mentoring someone in the area of evangelism, okay? That's your area, that's your assignment. You can look at it as you have lesson plans, okay? And they have to graduate. They're in the, I don't know, 10th grade. And once they get to the 11th grade, or they're through with the 10th grade, they graduate from you, hypothetically speaking. And they move on to the person that can equip them in that level. Or if you look at teachers, they are assigned grade groups. So your primary teacher does not teach high school, whatever the little grade group is. So what we, you know, or the general, a general doc, a general, your primary care physician is not your specialty doctor. No. So you not going to just, if you have some, so mentors are like these specialty doctors that only focus in this area. They may be a little knowledgeable about another area, but they typically don't advise in those areas. They stick with their little area. So we just need to keep that in mind within these mentoring relationships, because we don't want these mentoring relationships to become cultish. Okay, and that's so important. We don't want that to happen. So we definitely need to understand the scope of it, understand God's heart and or agenda for it. one of the things she says is go back and make a list, mental list of all of the mentors you have, and then sit down after reading that list and make sure you break the links with each one. And the example she used, obviously, is the one in 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha from the perspective that that relationship ended and he never saw him again. That's it. Move on. So she says make resolution right now to move on. Then you can identify all of your mentors and let them go. And one of the things she says, I will lead you on to understanding the spiritual fatherhood. Oftentimes we surround ourselves by all of these mentors because we don't want to be parents. So if we could get enough mentors, you know, it's kind of like, in our mind, the fast track to where we want to be. Or this new kingdom terminology, I am a student of. I am a student of. And so, you know, depending on who you read, you know, whether it's Chuck Pierce or John Tesola or Eckhart or, you know, you begin to think of all the people that have written volumes in a particular area that you're interested in, then we become these students of these individuals. We can quote them. We understand their methodology and all of that. But that's not the purpose that those individuals should be serving. So if we could become a student of all these people, then we believe ourselves to have obtained. Question. I see the look. Okay, you're formulating yours. I'm going to go here and then I'm going to come that way. Pass the tea.
That reminds me of the question that Apostle asked about, or the comments you made about the people having multiple kids. So it reminds me of, you know, a child is honest in my childhood. My mother had seven sisters, and rather than parented by my mother, I would go to the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting, you know, I was a student of this and for this and this and for this and this and for this, but they were not assigned to parent me. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to for this my child to do this and that the other. Is to be at home to be here because that's overarching. This becomes teaching and discipline. And, you know, I take the whole package. You don't take the whole package from your parents. So when you can choose, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you want, it's a teacher. So, yeah. Parenting is
yes, we are thinking.
Getting under a parent is much harder to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
My for people who miss it to get it to tell you what you want to hear. They tell you to know that they do it in a way that's more palatable to you, but parents don't have that. So, if you know when you're in a relationship and feel like you're so, I have spiritual doors, and God specifically told me a while ago, he said that they're going to grow, they're going to have to live with it. And he definitely told me that it was going to be a period where you guys would be living separate. And I saw that coming to both,
okay.
Where there was a separating, well, there was a separating, but he had to do something in them for them to get to their next. And so now I'm kind of, with the definitions that was given,
happen and ask the question. Because they have to let them go. Because the parent does have to let their children go and quit. You have to let them go to their next stage in life. Is that the same premise with the spiritual parents? Whereas it's not a mentorship where you have to cut them, but it's a parental in that they grow up and they go to their next place or their next phase. Can I equate it that same way, or should I ask a whole lot of questions?
Okay, I'm going to give you part. I'm going to give you part of what she said.
Okay.
Page 273. She says it's not possible to have more than one apostolic parent at a time. You can't do it in the natural, thus you can't do it in the spiritual. It doesn't mean that you will only have one. You just won't have them at the same time, okay? And when you get a new one, you need to let go of the ways of the former one so that you can receive from the new one. That's parenting. So it is going to be interesting as we kind of look at this, because mentoring, when we try to have these multiple apostolic parents, we have the mindset that you're giving me some good nuggets and I'll take five of them, but I don't want the other 10. Apostolic parenting doesn't afford you that opportunity. That's mentoring. Mentoring says, I can take five and you can keep the other 10 because they're not working for me. Parenting says, they're 15 and you're taking them, and you can't move on until. Scriptural. You got to eat the. There you go. You got to eat the whole thing. So I believe that in this, we will need to identify whether we were their parents or their mentor. Number one or two, wherever we're at. Does it come a point in the process, no matter which one, when he says, let them go? Absolutely. But then we need to hear if he ever says, pick it up. And we can't just assume that we pick it up where we left off, or, okay, we don't even have to pick it up where we left off. We're all in a different place now, and now let's go from here, because that is not the given.
Good. Yeah,
the given. That may not be the case.
Because I'm waiting for what I do as an emotion.
Okay, that's fair.
And so, you know, we have children that have parents, biological parents,
mm-hmm.
and for a season, they're with another parent in foster,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then for the season, they go back to the first parent.
Mm-hmm. So who's the parent? You have the answer. Who's the parent?
Who's the children of the season?
No, it doesn't. The parent never changes. And just in this scenario, obviously that scenario can shift, and then we have a different situation. But just in that scenario, the parent doesn't change. I love the term because you said it. The other is the foster or the guardian. Not whatever, but not. Or the surrogate. And she uses that. I don't like that word. But okay, whatever. But it's not the parent. Now, obviously, in your scenario, that can evolve to some other things, okay?
Well, I asked a question because for the female out there, the foster, I'm just...
Yeah, we get it.
You know, there really isn't much contact influence from the parent.
Mm-hmm.
So they're receiving what they need from...
But that's not the parent. And that, I think that is a profound statement for the church, because we're in that kind of season as a church, you know, just kingdom-wide, that there is a disconnect for whatever reason from what should the natural source or the God-ordained source that it was supposed to flow through to where it is now. It's kind of like morphed or mutated into something that God just never purposed. And we've learned how to make it work, and we have phenomenal terminology for it, and we have taught people how to live within that structure, but that's not God's established formula or process. And so is that is the same concept within this, I guess you want to call it apostolic parenting concept versus mentoring. So there are obviously people that are not within, they don't think kingdom. They don't think, and when I use the word apostolically, I don't mean it from a denominational perspective, but from the teachings of the apostles. So that's not their thought. So this whole concept of spiritual parents, yeah, they're going to say they've had, you know, a set of spiritual parents over here at this church and a set over there, and as life went on, then they acquired a whole nother set. And I believe what people are identifying with are those are individuals that have been a part of their nurturing process. They probably were more mentors. But would you rather be called a mentor or a spiritual parent? People want to be these spiritual parents. And so mentorship works really well within our educational concept, but it doesn't work really well within the church. Now, we don't mind. I think the concept of being discipled, I don't know that I've heard it in such a way until interacting with you, Pastor. Just that I've seen it, but just identifying this is the person that discipled me through these different seasons. That's what it's going.
That's where I was going.
Daniel and Eli.
Eli have been this to father,
so let's talk about Daniel and Eli. They were my other scripture. I just have to find what page they're on. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter through the 4th chapter. And so it is suggested that Samuel and Eli, from her perspective, she uses this concept of surrogate, okay? And we're on 246-247. She goes on to say, it is in this relationship where both the mother and the fathers are needed. And here you will see how the woman rises up as a mother surrogate as well as men rise up as father surrogate. If you look in the Word, I think one of the best examples of this relationship is Samuel and Eli. Another good example of spiritual parenthood is the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. In Eli's case, he was not only Samuel's spiritual covering, but became the natural father to him as well. However, we will notice that Samuel followed a call different, completely different from Eli, and received a separate mandate. So she is going to tell you that is a mentoring relationship and a spiritual parenting relationship, but not necessarily an apostolic parenting relationship. I am going to say that it was an apostolic parenting relationship because even though the mandate was different, he was responsible for, what's my definition? Hold on. He touched him in the deepest parts of his person. It was a deeper level of trust. He dealt with his identity, and he was part of the transition. He was part of his spiritual transition. And this is just my little definitions that I'm working with as it relates to apostolic parenting and then this new thing that we're going to release called spiritual life coaches.
I just find that interesting because he was placed over Samuel in a sense that God had him,
mm-hmm.
where he could really seem to
be
effective with his own children.
And so they talk about the rise of Samuel and the fall of Eli's son. That's my little slide by now. So, again, I think a lot of this is going to be viewed from the lenses of who we are in ministry, okay? It's definitely who we are in ministry is going to impact how we see this. And what we've done, the author is going to talk about his vision. And did you get the vision prior to getting your spiritual parents? And if you got the vision prior to getting your spiritual parents, is it a vision that you need to hold on to, or does death need to come to that vision?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tall order. You know, what does that really look like? Is that, you know, oh, that can't be applicable to me. But all of those things are going to begin to resonate in our minds. However, when we begin to understand what that spiritual relationship is supposed to look like, is it possible that it will feed the other? It will feed the other. But again, it's identifying, we have to be in a place where we identify our mentors, our spiritual parents. And again, this definitely has to be mutual. So it is not going to help for somebody to think, oh, that's my mentor, and that person not be aware of it. That's my spiritual whoever, and that person be like, you know. Or, yeah, this is my spiritual somebody, and they're like, oh, okay, I didn't know I belonged to you. Wow. Newsflash.
So when the leader of the church is asking the spiritual
Elder, that is why you are the doctor. You mess with it.
I don't.
It doesn't have to be, but it could be. How is that? Because everybody that the pastor or the leader of the church leaves, he doesn't necessarily father. He or she doesn't mother or father. They're just there. They're, you know, the Bible says, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say?
Mm-hmm.
And so there'll be people that you may serve over, but they don't serve under you. if we did this. No, if you had a spiritual father, then their vision and mandate becomes your vision and mandate. And when we're ready, we will discover that the Lord planted us with the same spiritual DNA as them. And she begins to make reference to Joshua, the 11th chapter. Joshua did not alter the pattern that Moses gave him. He did everything according to what Moses had laid out. He received his instruction, his anointing, his vision, and his mandate. And so those are some of the things that I call the prerequisites for that person to be our spiritual parent. Are we willing to do that? That's where she talks about, chapter 8 is where she talks about the process of a death of a vision, but the necessity of dying to our own so that we can be carriers of another. And oftentimes what we carry may look like and resemble what we had. That's it. So the only person that can answer that question would be you. Okay, yes.
I'm thinking about the detriment of when it is a mentorship.
Your pastor is your mentor. Go on.
And they feel like you should do that for the rest of your life.
When you're
right, you know, be with them for the mentorship has an end.
Yes.
And so what that carries looks like because they have it, the bridge thing, that they were actually your mentor. And that's just
Mm-hmm.
So, the one thing I rectified is, like, how do you...
You separate. Because you don't want it to morph into something else. You don't want it to take on a life that God never purposed it to take on. And on either side. So if we're allowing what was supposed to be a mentor relationship to come to a parenting relationship, and you're not spiritually equipped to parent me, the possibility of me growing properly is restricted and hindered. Yeah. So there are just some relationships that have to be severed, and then we need to seek the wisdom of the Lord if they need to be redefined. It may have just been for a season. You are a wonderful, phenomenal person. When I see you, I honor and I esteem you. Nobody could have been you in my life but you. But that's keeping us open. And the goal would be to make sure you got what you were supposed to get when you were in that mentoring relationship. Yeah.
I'm going to keep cutting it off. But it's never possible for them to be birthed out and also with ATN to be aligned with Yeltsin Club, with ATN, you're either aligned or you're...
Oh, affiliated. Mm-hmm.
So could it possibly be that they could be aligned or they could be affiliated? I think that's what she means when she said it was going to be responsible. And even in that redefining it, you need to make sure you start from the Lord Jesus. And then the boundaries that need to be set when you be defined.
And so,
yeah,
so if you come back and you're just an affiliate, don't expect the privileges of a son or a daughter, because that's not who you are. Yeah. And I think that's important. We have a tendency to give the perks and the privileges to people who their relationship with us does not dictate that. And so thus they have unhealthy expectations because they want that, but they don't want the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
which is, I love it because Paul said, when I come back, should I come back with a rod? And how do you need me to come back? And when I get there, which part of me do you want? I believe that that's necessary. I think we need to understand that every all of our relationships have to have these boundaries, and not only we have to be open to Holy Spirit for what that should look like, we have to be open to make sure people are where we need to be and people are where they need to be so that God can be who he is in the midst. And so that, I think that is necessary on all ends. Questions, comments? Where are we at the time?
15 minutes.
Okay. Do we have anything? It's not enough time to go on. I definitely encourage you all to finish out 16, 17, and then going on. If you've not had the opportunity to read it, to familiarize yourself with it. It won't be the last time that you hear it. It definitely won't be the last time that you hear it. And then you have one more next week. It's your last week of class. Yeah, next week should be the 16th, 17th. So you have one more week of class. In 8th and 9th, but then after that is your last week of class. And so the last week of class, I want to say you're going to have two different facilitators, but I will double-check that. But we definitely want to make sure that we do chapters 18 through 20 on the last day of class because it is going to give you all the overview for everything. Okay, so it's just going to talk about apostolic authority, apostolic ministry, and apostolic office step by step. And so next week is just going to be the overview of everything. So whatever you miss, you're going to get it all in a nice, neat package next Monday. So I'm not going to say it like you didn't miss anything, but you're going to get it all in a nice, neat package. Let's make sure that we turn in our assignments. If you didn't get a person, I can give you a person today. I know Pastor didn't, so I can definitely give you a person today. Let's make sure that we have our characters. And I believe that's it.
Okay.
Oh. You emailed it to the CCTI email address.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you were supposed to do. You're fine. All of the emails should go to that email address, okay? So Bishop Isaac will always get all of your homework. He always email it to the CCTI email address. And I believe if you don't have anything else, that's it. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe everybody here is working on a degree. So let's... Yeah, everybody here is working on it today. So enjoy the ministry.